With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to a combo edition of the A's Plus and Giant Splash podcasts. I'm your host, Chronicle A's beat writer Susan Slusser. I will be joined by Giants beat writer Henry Schulman, and we will talk about the upcoming winter meetings in San Diego next week, what the teams might be trying to do, and some of the creative ways they might do it. All of that next on A's Plus and Giant Splash. We had some action this week, Henry, with the non-tender date. Sometimes a non-tender date means very little to teams, but for both the A's and Giants, there were some significant names who were non-tendered, including for the Giants, a guy that seems fans are very upset about the Giants letting go. Tell us more about that.
Well, the Giants fans are upset about a lot of things right now, not least the hire of Gabe Kapler as manager. And then on the heels of that, they decided not to tender Kevin Pillar a contract. He's the guy who, I mean, he led them in home runs, co-led them in home runs. He drove in, 86 runs for a team that, barely scored 630. He won the Willie Mack Award as the most inspirational player. He was one of the few guys on the field who actually created some excitement on a nightly basis, and they cut him loose. And it's all part of the Farhan Zaidi plan, and he was going to earn between $9 and $10 million in his final year of arbitration, closer to 10 than 9 probably. And it was one of those deals where the Giants got Kevin Pillar last year, the first week of the season they acquired him from Toronto, and they felt he was the right guy for $5.8 million at that time. And now they feel he's the wrong guy for $10 million because they have other outfielders. They want to play center field. And this is one of those things where, Farhan has a plan, but right now the fans don't see it.
I guess you probably figure if you're a team that's maybe not contending, that's a lot of money for one spot in the lineup. So it certainly sounds like something the A's would consider in a year they thought they weren't necessarily contending. But they had their own difficulties this week with guys on the non-tender list. Blake Treinen, who 2 years ago was an all-star and put up one of the best seasons ever by an A's reliever. I think most people know this stat by now, but he put up an 0.78 ERA that year. That's the best ever in Major League history by a pitcher with at least 80 innings. So that was a tremendous season. And then, of course, he really sputtered last year. He felt maybe the juiced ball had affected him, and that nasty sinker he had, he just was not quite the same, and the A's let him go because his projected salary was going to be somewhere in the $8 million range. And that's for a pitcher who's not necessarily projectable for next year, that would be an awful lot.
Well, that sounded like a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Yeah. And now the A's are now talking to Treinen to maybe try to bring him back on a more reasonable contract, which I could see. They did that last year with Mike Fiers. Just because you non-tender a guy doesn't mean that you can't bring him back. The A's won't be bringing back Jerickson Profar, of course, since they traded him to the Padres. And that's an interesting one because the Padres did tender him a contract. And Profar's coming off also a very disappointing season. Batted .218, developed the yips throwing. He came on a little bit stronger late in the season. And he's only 26. You got to think that the Padres are looking at him as potentially a bounce-back guy, especially at that age, somebody who can hit, who should hit. A.J. Preller's familiar with him from the Texas organization. So the A's do get back Austin Allen, a catcher, a left-handed hitting catcher, more important in that deal, which I think helped them free up the ability to non-tender Josh Fegley. Who didn't they non-tender this week? And Fegley's one of the longer-tenured A's. So that was kind of a big day for the A's with all the guys coming and going. And Austin Allen will kind of see, whether he winds up playing for the A's next year or not. He has options. I think the A's are probably still looking for a veteran left-handed hitting catcher, but certainly that was something that they needed.
Well, that makes one of two teams in the Bay Area that are probably looking for veteran left-handed catchers because the Giants, it was before the non-tender, But they let Steven Vogt walk to the Arizona Diamondbacks, not for a lot of money, just for the want of not wanting to give him a second year.
Yeah.
And
the A's talked to him too. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, and we're going to talk a little bit later about the speed of this market compared to past years. But have you noticed that, I mean, the catching market is one of the first things that's just been sort of eaten up. I mean, catcher after catcher after catcher are going off the board, and both the Giants and A's need one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah, I would got to think that a local guy, Jason Castro, is getting a look from probably everywhere. The A's, I think the A's probably don't want to spend a lot of money. I think they love their rotation. They have a pretty good core lineup coming back with just, you know, the need for a good left-handed hitting bat and question marks at second base and left-handed hitting catcher. But I don't think they want to go over the $100 million mark. So I don't know if they will be necessarily adding anybody major, certainly through the free agent market. Who might the Giants be looking at?
Well, the Giants, I'll give you the positions, first of all. What they really want is a corner outfielder with pop. And that's a hard commodity to find, especially in free agency. One of the reasons behind non-tendering Kevin Pillar is the theory that they have enough guys who can play center. It's hard to find a center fielder with power, and power is what they need. So they could put Mike Yastrzemski in center. They have Steven Duggar coming back. I mean, he's had injuries 2 years in a row now. Even Austin Slater is not really a center fielder, but he can play out there. So they really kind of wanted to open up center field for guys like that and then go out and get a corner guy. Now, the rumor mill has them going after Nick Castellanos. I think he'd be a good guy to get. I don't know that it's exactly a fit. For one thing, he hated playing in a big ballpark. He's a free agent, by the way, and he hated playing in a big ballpark in Detroit. And even with the dimensions changing at Oracle, I mean, it's still a big ballpark. I think that a possibility would be Ozuna from St. Louis, who's also a free agent. He does have the qualifying offer attached to him, but with Will Smith signing with Atlanta and Madison Bumgarner, I'm guessing not returning to the Giants. I do believe that the Giants will get two comp picks. So if you get two comp picks, maybe you won't be as protective of the comp pick you'll lose, or the pick you'll lose if you sign a guy like Ozuna. And like, you know, Profar you're talking about. And, Ozuna's coming off a down year too in St. Louis. He wasn't the hitter that he necessarily was in Florida, and that could be an opportunity maybe to get him for a lower cost. So you got the corner outfielder, a little bit of pop. They probably are going to be, well, obviously, I just mentioned, they're going to be looking for a backup catcher with Vogt gone, and they're also looking for late relief. They're looking for right-handers specifically who have some experience in leverage situations. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're talking to Trinan as well, especially if they feel that they have seen something. You know how this is. I mean, other teams think they know what can fix a guy. And if they see something, they might give him a crack as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I firmly believe that Trinan is probably going to, he's certainly going to have a better year than he did last year. I'm almost convinced. Mm-hmm. Absolutely convinced of that. Profar, I think, is a guy who also potentially could bounce back pretty well. But, you know, the A's just couldn't, you know, they would be looking at essentially $13 million for the two of them. That's pretty risky. Free agents for the A's possibilities. Again, they're not going to spend a ton. But, if they look for a left-handed hitting second baseman, Scooter Jeanette's a guy who you're certainly familiar with. I think that they would look at. He's also one of Chris Davis's best friends, so that's interesting. Eric Sogar, the A's love reunions with former players, and he had a very nice season. It might be somebody like that. David Forst has mentioned that they'd like somebody who plays multiple positions and is a left-handed hitter. That might start to get a little bit more tricky, but with that 26th player being added, I think that's kind of what they're looking at, is maybe they'll go out and get a left-handed hitting utility player. Wouldn't everyone like one of those? And then they're probably also looking in the bullpen, because who isn't always looking in the bullpen? But I think they feel pretty, especially if they could sign someone like Trinan or bring in a veteran guy on a two-year deal like they did with Petit and then Soria in back-to-back years. I think those are the kinds of guys that they're looking at again. We'll be back in just a moment with more A's Plus and Giant Splash.
You know, I think Jonathan Villar would have been perfect for what you're talking about, but it's really the same situation as with the guys the A's non-tendered. I mean, Jonathan Villar got traded to he was DFA'd and then traded to Miami. I mean, he's perfect. He can play multiple positions. He's left-handed. He's a good hitter. But again, he's an arbitration guy who's going to command $10 million. And, you know, I think, you know, the Giants, they have the money this time around. This is the first time in a long time they're not butting up against the luxury tax cap. They're about $140 million in commitments. Now, their revenues are definitely going to be down because they're not filling as many seats. I just don't think Farhan, I mean, coming from the A's like he did, and working for Billy and David in that environment, then going to the Dodgers, which are a big market team but still don't believe in spending money for the sake of spending money, I don't think the Giants necessarily feel that they want to spend for the sake of spending. If they did, they would have kept Kevin Pillar. But I do think this could be a year where the Giants take on a contract that might be a little bit above their comfort level, whether it's a free agent or one of those deals that where you acquire a player you really want, but the only way you can get him, like a younger guy who's who can give you what you need, the only way you can get him is to take a bad big contract of an older player in return. And the Giants have the financial flexibility to do something like that. And I would look for the Giants to be talking about such deal. We haven't really talked much about trades with the Giants because we really haven't gotten a sense of which teams they match up with. But that could be an area where they could fill some of these needs. It would still cost them money, but fill some of these needs without having to, get into the free agent market. A free agent market that, by the way, is just zooming right now, right?
Yeah. Well, that's this time last year, so little had happened. And then we went into the winter meetings and it was a little bit dull. So many of the big names didn't come off the board until much later. You know, in the case of Dallas Keuchel, not even into the season. Here we've seen Zach Wheeler get $118 million. Teams are already being associated with Garrett Cole. Sounds like he's meeting with clubs. I mean, there could be some hot and heavy action in San Diego. This could be a fun one.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there are, you know, I've tried to think of the reasons why this year of all years it's been like that. I have a couple of ideas I'll share with the listeners. I think number one, I think there are some teams that have not spent, who have reached the sort of cusp of contention, and now have that pent up demand to spend some money. That's number one. And I think number two as well, I think this is kind of an under the radar thing, but you know, the luxury tax that has kept teams from spending, that's going to go away after the 2021 season. The collective bargaining agreement actually says that it'll be sunsetted out after 2021, and specifically it says that the two sides agree that they're not going to bring it back. And now if you're talking about a 3 or a 4 year deal, you don't have to look ahead to the third or fourth year right now, which would be 2022 and 2023, and go, well, you know what, if we give them that much money, we're gonna have to pay maybe the luxury tax. And I think that's part of it. And I also I think that there's some really good free agents out there. It's a good year to be a pitcher out there. There's a lot of pitchers out there. We've seen the catchers snapped up. Unless you can think of other reasons, I mean, that's really kind of where I think they're at.
Yeah, and you know, that's where you're going to start if you're a team that wants to contend. You're going to start with your rotation. So, and I do think a lot of these teams want earlier answers, and so they know what they're doing. You know, baseball has become very stratified the last couple of years. Teams feel like they're either in or out earlier, and if you can make your plans one way or another, that's probably good. But the luxury tax is that's an interesting kind of a twist on all of this. And I think, you know, here's another thing that's affecting things so far. It's much more minor, but certainly has affected the A's decision-making this week, is the three-batter minimum rule, which is changing the complexion of bullpens, certainly. The A's decide to non-tender Ryan Buchter this week. He's more of a traditional lefty specialist. There's much less of a demand for that type of pitcher now, which is too bad. Well, we've seen the end of probably a lot of loogie careers, I think, as a result. And then they re-sign Jake Diekman because he's a guy who can pitch multiple innings if need be. That, I think, definitely was really one of the motivating factors for that. The Giants making some decisions based on the three-batter minimum, which, by the way, David Force's A's have not been officially informed about yet, but they're just operating under that assumption.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's one of the things they're looking at for relief. I mean, they lost a guy who was very good at getting out lefties and righties in Will Smith. And it's interesting that the Braves right away came out and said Melanson is going to remain the closer while Will Smith is going to be a setup man. Now, part of that might have been, you don't want to take the job away from somebody before spring training. But the other reason is Will Smith is a guy who can go multiple innings. Melanson really isn't. And, sometimes you need the three guys to get out in the seventh, then going into the eighth inning and whatnot. And I think that might be better for a setup type guy than a closer, especially if the closer doesn't have the greatest splits in the world. The Giants do have some relief pitchers who can, face multiple guys. I don't think they're as set up as well maybe as the A's are in terms of relievers now who can get lefties and righties out together. But I think anybody you look at on the free agent list is going to be kind of looked at by a bunch of teams, including the Giants, maybe even including the A's, for that very reason. It's almost like an old school thing where you have to have guys who pitch multiple innings. I mean, we're not going to see, Raleigh Fingers anymore coming in and, pitching the last three innings of a game to get a save, but it is moving in that direction a little bit.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how that's going to affect the market and a number of lefties' careers for sure. Henry, we are looking forward to next week. You and I will be providing podcasts daily, news permitting, I would imagine. If one of us winds up with like a massive story, maybe we have to postpone something for another day. But we really enjoyed doing that last year, and I think we're looking forward. I think we're looking forward to San Diego again because, man, that last time was great. I think it was John Shea last time, and that is a great spot to have a winter meetings.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, but I usually go to the winter meetings. I walk in the hotel and I never walk out again until I'm going to the airport. So they could have it on the moon, and it really doesn't matter unless unless we can sneak out and maybe grab a bite to eat at Seaport Village. But yeah, you know what? I just remember from last year, the listeners really, really liked these joint podcasts that we did, just to give them sort of like an up to date kind of feel for what's going on that sometimes doesn't really necessarily come across in the written story.
Right. Yeah, no, it's fun. We always look forward to a couple of the regular events, the Scott Boras stroll through the lobby and et cetera, the general managers showing up to talk about the latest injury updates and minor league plans and things like that. You can really get into the weeds during the winter meetings.
Yeah, so I just saw Boras pick last year in Vegas. He picked this gigantic Christmas tree to do his thing. I hope he finds another big Christmas tree to do it. That was a lot of fun. The state of the Scott address.
He's probably scouted that out already.
He's always got a lot of guys, but I mean, good Lord. I mean, he's got Gerrit Cole. He's got Rendon. He's got Strasburg. He's got Castellanos. I apologize to Greek people for mispronouncing that Castellanos. So this is really going to be the Scott Boras Olympics this time around.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Good
times. Henry, I look forward to talking to you in San Diego, and thanks to everyone for joining us on A's Plus.
All right, thank you.
A's Plus is part of the San Francisco Chronicle Podcast Network. Audrey Cooper is the editor-in-chief. If you like this show, please subscribe, tell a friend, or give us a review. Follow me on Twitter at Susan Slusser, or you can email me at sslusser@sfchronicle.com. Support A's Plus and a lot of great journalism with a subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. There are print and digital editions. Find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe.